Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to In for Life, the podcast. This is episode 357 called Sarah Herron at Fertility Rally Live. This episode is brought to you by Fertile. Hey friends, it's Allie. If you're in the middle of your what else can we try family building era, listen up. Fertile is the first and only sterile, FDA-cleared at-home insemination kit designed for intracervical insemination, so sperm is placed right at the cervical opening. It's engineered to mimic the precision of an IUI, just 1 inch lower, but without washed sperm, meds, or appointments. Fertile is also triple patented, made in the US with IVF-grade materials, and clinically validated. The kit comes with 3 sterile attempts, so you can cover your 3 most fertile days each cycle. It's as easy to use as a tampon, it ships discreetly, and it's HSA, FSA eligible. So who is Fertile for? Folks with unexplained infertility, LGBTQIA plus families, solo parents by choice, or anyone delaying IUI or IVF because of cost or burnout. If you want an option that's private, empowering, and science-backed, this is your sign. Okay, so here's what to do. Go to Fertile.com today and use code INFERTILEAF for $10 off. That's Fertile, pronounced fertile, but spelled with a PhD out of spite. They told Dr. Jen she wouldn't be a mother, and she used her PhD to prove them wrong. Again, that's PHERDAL.com and use code INFERTILEAF. Thanks, Fertile. Before we get started today, I want to remind you all that you're all welcome to join Fertility Rally, which is the community that I co-founded with Blair Nelson, who you will hear today on this very special episode with Sarah Herron. The rally is the place I wish I had when I was going through this. We have support groups, we have private Facebook groups, we do IRL and virtual events, and it is just the best community. It's the worst club with the best members, and you are all welcome. So go to fertilityrally.com or follow us on IG at Fertility Rally for more info. You can also DM me on Fertility Rally or at InfertileAF Stories on IG and check out one of our support groups. Just let me know that you want to come and I will send you the link. Also, quick reminder about the Work of Art children's book series that I'm so passionate about. I just love normalizing the conversation around families being built through science and in so many different ways. So check out Work of Art, Beautiful Bird, and the latest, The Board Book called You Are a Work of Art, all on my website at infertileafgroup.com. All right, so today's very special episode features a woman whose story has touched millions long before she ever stepped onto the Fertility Rally Live stage. You probably know Sarah from The Bachelor, where her openness, humor, and heart made her an instant fan favorite. But in the years since, she's used her platform for something far more meaningful, speaking honestly about mental health, infertility, pregnancy loss, and what it really looks like to find resilience in the midst of heartbreak. So she's going to talk about all of this and then having her twin girls as well on this Fertility Rally Live keynote. So without further ado, this is Sarah Herron on Infertile AF. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our big keynote speech. We are so thrilled to have Sarah Herron here today. As you guys know, Sarah is a reality TV alum turned advocate, storyteller, and founder of SheLift, a nonprofit empowering women through confidence and community. Everybody first fell in love with her when she appeared on The Bachelor, but of course she's gone on to do so much since then, including using her platform on socials and elsewhere to speak openly about mental health, infertility, pregnancy loss, resilience overall. So she's such a powerful person. She is amazing. I can't wait for you guys to hear what she has to say. And Sarah, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Oh my gosh, I don't know why your introduction's like kind of making me teary-eyed for some reason. Maybe it's just like reflecting on the journey here. But wow, I'm so excited to be here. And thank you for that amazing intro.
Oh, now I'm getting teary-eyed.
I know, crazy.
You've been so public and open about everything that you've been through. And, you know, Blair and I both and everybody watching are so grateful for that because, as you know, it's so hard to go through any sort of fertility journey, yeah, and to know that you're, yeah, not alone
really, really helps. So I want to start with, you know, you've really been open about talking about going through adversity before your infertility journey. Mm-hmm. So how did that help you during your journey to the family that you have today?
Yeah, well, I think taking it all the way back to the bachelor days, right? Like being one of the first, well, really the first contestant to ever appear on the show with a physical disability. And then kind of like parlaying that straight into this social media world and platform kind of gave me this opportunity to be really vulnerable. And what I discovered through vulnerability and storytelling and sharing was that there was immense community out there to connect with. And that by being vulnerable really was a gift for me, not just everyone else, but the like community and welcoming and warmth that I received from being someone who was open to sharing was powerful. And I received just as much from, you know, my being vulnerable and sharing everything from having one arm to then the difficulties of starting my family was always something that I just found, comfort and acceptance and resilience through the people I was connecting with online.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I feel like I get more than I give on social media when I'm vulnerable and sharing. So I totally understand what you're saying there. Our next question is, when you and Dylan decided to start building your family, did you already have a feeling that things might not be easy, or was it a complete shock?
Thanks, Blair. That's a really good question. And I hadn't really thought of this until again recently. But yes, I always had this like inkling in the back of my mind that maybe it wasn't going to be smooth sailing. You know, I was 32 years old at the time, and that is not old by any stretch of the imagination. But I knew a little bit that my mom had had trouble trying to conceive. I didn't know very many details. It's not something that like she and I had ever really like shared in our mother-daughter relationship, but I just, other than knowing that it took her a while to have children. And then of course, once my journey began, I came to my mom with more questions and was like, I need to know a little bit more about what went on with your journey. And then it all started to click. So I did have like an idea, okay, this might be tough for me because it was tough for my mom, but that was all I knew. I had zero education on fertility or like where you're even supposed to start. I was just like, we've been told it's really easy to get pregnant our whole lives. And so like, why wouldn't it be? It's like, I had spent my whole life trying not to get, well, not my whole life, but you know, my whole adult life trying not to get pregnant. And all the while I was like, oh, it's actually quite difficult. It's a lot harder for some people and requires, yeah, a lot of planning. So I definitely had a little bit of an idea. It was going to be a road.
Yeah, same, Sarah. And, you know, that comes up so much in our groups with Fertility Rally and just in general, talking to people in this community. Like you said, you know, you're always taught like, don't get pregnant, don't get pregnant. And, you know, little do you know that there's so much more obviously that goes into it that has to line up correctly. So what did it feel like when you started to consult with, you know, a doctor or a medical team and you heard the term diminished ovarian reserve? Did you know what that was?
I had no idea what diminished ovarian reserve was. I had no idea. All I had known was my then boyfriend, Dylan, we weren't even, well, I guess maybe we were engaged. I don't know. I'll have to go back and look, but we knew we were going to spend our lives together. We knew we wanted to create a family, but after 6 months of trying good old fashioned way with no luck, I went in to see my OBGYN, and that's when she told me I had diminished ovarian reserve. And that was just like, excuse me, huh? Like, what is that? I've never heard of that. I'm 32. How could I have diminished ovaries? Like, Allie, I remember when we spoke several months ago, I said it felt like this like garage door just like came closing down on my future. It's just like, what? It just seemed like the biggest stopgap to me and my fertility. And I had no education on what that meant.
What was it like going from that diagnosis to, okay, I think we're going to have to do IVF to build our family?
Well, my doctor told me immediately in the office that day, she was like, you know, based on your hormones, and I had done the, the ultrasound to count my predicted eggs, I suppose, she said, you know, based on the numbers, like, I really think you're probably going to have to go straight to IVF. You could try a few rounds of IUI, but I really don't see a lot of success with that with women who have diminished ovarian reserve. And all of it just felt like, whoa, like, how did this just go from 0 to 100? Like, my only perception of IVF is that it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I thought it was for women, you know, who, I mean, this sounds, I feel bad saying this now, but this is just to give context to how small my frame of perception was. But I thought it was for like women who wanted to have kids late in life. Like, I just didn't know. Like, I thought IVF is last resort. And so it just felt like it went from 0 to 100 really fast. I left her office that day with referrals to fertility clinics in Denver and pamphlets on IVF. And I was just like, how am I going to go home and tell Dylan? Like, he's going to break up with me. Why would he want to stay with me? I'm damaged goods.
We were the same way, Sarah. Like, we, after 6 months of trying, went in for our first appointment and they were like, and IVF is your answer. And it was just kind of like, whoa. 0 to 100, exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In hindsight, you know, I think once you've also been through IVF and you've been through all the treatments, like, I appreciate that she was like, look, I don't think you should waste your time. I don't want you to waste any more time. But I think when you're coming into it and you have no idea what IVF is and you have this like limited perception of what it is, it feels really jarring. And so you think it's like a terrible diagnosis, when in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, I guess I appreciate that she was like, this is your best chance at having a baby. You should get straight to it.
And then once you went down that road of IVF and fertility treatments, mm-hmm. did you feel like it kind of took over your life? I feel like so many of us, you know, you get on that, like, yeah. The blinders are on and you've got this goal and it really starts to affect all the other aspects of your life. Did that happen for you? Like, did you have to say no to certain opportunities, like show opportunities or going on trips, things like that? Like, how did it affect the rest of your life?
It really did affect my life. I mean, I think that's why I got emotional hearing you read my bio, is because prior to infertility and prior to IVF, you know, I was running this nonprofit. I was also running an organization that taught women how to go backpacking in the outdoors by themselves. Like, my calendar was stacked full of adventure and retreats and travel and just showing, you know, women what's possible in the outdoors. And all of that pretty much came to a screeching halt because you have to orient your whole life around your cycle and your treatments and your medications. And so, but I was so committed to seeing this through that I was like, okay, we'll put everything on hold. So I canceled a lot of my partnerships and retreats that I had planned with other partners. And I said, I just need to put all my efforts into this IVF thing. And I don't know how long it's going to take, but so it does make me feel, you know, like, yeah, you put your life on pause. There were weddings I said no to, because at the time you think like, well, I don't want to miss this cycle. So I'm not going to go to my friend's wedding in Mexico. And would I do things differently today? Hard to say. Like, I don't know. There's some things I probably would have been like, don't put your life on pause, Sarah. You got to keep going with your life. But how are you going to tell someone that when they're so laser focused on starting their family and have invested so much in starting their family? So yeah, it really does just, it changes your trajectory. At least for, you know, a handful of years. In some cases, I hate to laugh saying that, but it's like, it could be a year, it could be a long time.
The next question is, we'd love for you to share a little bit about your pregnancy with Oliver, if that's okay.
Yeah. So after, I think, like about a year of IVF and egg retrievals and embryo creation and like endometriosis treatments, I successfully became pregnant on my second embryo transfer with our son, Oliver. And it was just like, it was a miracle. It was the best feeling in the world. It was like all the hard work was paying off. It worked. And it was just like, yeah, the most amazing feeling.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season with their limited edition chocolate mint. There are endless ways to personalize your Ka'Chava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code SHAKE for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code SHAKE.
I think I shared on social media just a couple days ago. It was actually like 3 years ago to the date that I found out I was pregnant. So this is a really special and meaningful time for me, just reflecting on, the path that life took since then. And just honoring my pregnancy with him and how special that was. And so, I got to be pregnant with him for 25 weeks. And then we had a really traumatic loss, late term. And it changed me. I mean, I think loss for women at any stage through pregnancy and infant loss is truly life-changing. And for me, I went really spiritual. I went really deep in reflection and healing and just like, sitting in my grief for a long time. And I learned a lot about myself and I learned a lot about my partner and it was terrible. And it's an interesting experience to reflect on because as painful as it was, I'm so grateful to have been pregnant with him. Like it was my first pregnancy ever. He was my son and I wouldn't, change having him for anything, even if it was short. So it was a doozy for sure. And then it took a few years it took almost a year until I got pregnant again.
I want to ask you a question about it's a little deviation from the questions we discussed, because you kind of already answered part of it, but I lost a son at 16 weeks, and a question that I get a lot, and you this question, is after all of that and after sitting in that grief and all of that pain, like how did you pick yourself up, like as a woman, as a couple, and try again? Because I think a lot of people that do suffer loss just can't see past the next hour. And I know you've probably been there. I've been there. Allie, you've had several losses. So I'm just curious what your answer is to that.
You know, I feel really grateful that I'm someone who stacks my corner with as many resources as I can. And so immediately Dylan and I started grief counseling, which is a very specific type of counseling. It was in addition to my regular weekly therapy. We saw a counselor who specializes in grief who had experience with child and infant loss. So that was really, really helpful for me. And we met with that counselor together and individually. I did a lot of reading. I really tried to connect to my type and form of spirituality so that I could feel connected to my son. I'm someone that's just like, I have to face the grief. I can't hide it. I can't hide from it. And so really for me,
I think it's different for everyone, but pulling myself together looked like facing the storm, you know, and wintering through it is kind of an expression I love. But I know it's so different from everyone. And your timeline of healing is different. I think I tricked myself into thinking I was ready to try again a lot earlier than I was. Because I feel a lot of women will either say, I need to be pregnant again immediately. Like I need to fix what I lost. I need it back. And so they just immediately rush back into trying to conceive. And that might be what you need. And then some women might be like, I can't even think about it for a long time. And so I don't think there's any right answer. I think it's, you have to just give yourself space to figure it out. And like I said, I think I tried tricking myself into being ready. And we went through with a couple more embryo transfers. In hindsight, I think I wasn't emotionally there yet. I think I was just trying to be pregnant again. And I was chasing that feeling of trying to get Oliver back. So like I said, I don't have any regrets. I don't wish I would do anything differently. It was just part of my path.
Yeah. Sarah, I saw that video you posted the other day and it was so touching and of course made me well up and brought back all the feels, you know, of various losses. And I think it's so relatable for so many people in this community. Can you talk a little bit about how you guys honor Oliver now? I know you still do so often.
Yeah, this is an interesting question because I think as more time passes and there's more space between you and a baby that you lose, regardless of gestation, the parents are going to grieve differently and you're going to hold space and honor that child differently. And I think part of moving through relationship and marriage is learning that we do grieve and honor differently. So while my husband has processed and compartmentalized and kind of like put his grief to bed, I feel like mine is still very much alive. And I think of Oliver every single day. I mean, I still have his ashes like next to my bed, and I keep a piece of him metaphorically in the girls' nursery. And I just try to keep his spirit alive in our home so that I just feel him. I want to be connected to him in every way possible every day, even if it's only through like signs of sea turtles. Like that's how I stay connected is just thinking of him spiritually.
Oh, now I'm going to cry because I'm the exact same. I still have Baron's ashes and I tried to, you know, I try to keep him around as well. So I totally understand what you're saying. And I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate. And thanks for sharing that. I know it's hard to talk about. So let's talk about getting pregnant with the twins. So they were mosaic embryos, right? Yes. My youngest was a mosaic embryo as well. So I want to hear all about that. And this is another topic people are super interested in, obviously, because it's so new and unknown. And so how did y'all decide to move forward with those embryos? And just talk us through how y'all navigated that to get to that decision to transfer.
Well, to backtrack a little bit, Dylan and I are both carriers of cystic fibrosis. So when we went through our embryo creation process, we had like testing our embryos was mandatory because we didn't want to pass on the cystic fibrosis disease. And so we tested our embryos and we would lose generally, statistically, you lose about a quarter of your embryos to cystic fibrosis. And then we had a handful that were euploid and we had a couple that were mosaic. And then of course you have your few that are aneuploid. So we had always saved the mosaic embryos for the end, right? Like everyone wants to transfer their highest graded euploid embryos first. And we had done five, you know, and with the exception of Oliver, none of them stuck, like didn't even stick. And so we had our two mosaic embryos left, no more euploids. And I was so burnt out physically, emotionally, financially. I was also traveling back and forth to California for all my IVF treatment. I went to Dr. Amy Avazadeh, Egg Whisperer on Instagram, and I live in Colorado. So I was just really burnt out. I said, I don't know if I can keep doing this. we have these two embryos left. Why don't we just put both in and pray that one of them sticks? I thought, you know, my understanding was that with mosaics, they had a lower chance of sticking. So I thought like, well, maybe if we combine our efforts, like one out of the two will stick. And so we were like, yeah, let's do that. And if it doesn't work, we are at peace with this. We're going to start romanticizing our life as child-free parents, and we're going to buy a van and drive to Alaska. So we were really like, this is it. We're done. And we're actually starting to like the idea of life without children. Like, it's not a terrible idea. So we went to California for our last transfer, put them both in, and they stuck. I mean, like, no, you know, cats out of the bag, they both stuck. And now we have 1 year old twins. So it's quite amazing.
It's so amazing, Sarah. It's just loving, like, watching your story and like seeing it kind of happen in like real time. It's just been so incredible the way that life sometimes has these twists and turns and unexpected, you know, good and bad. Yeah. And all of that being said, you know, you've been through so much, like we mentioned, infertility in particular with your, you know, your loss of Oliver and the high risk pregnancy. Mm-hmm. How has all of this shaped you as a person and like shifted your perspective on family, on life, on love, on all the things?
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I definitely think going through infertility and loss and just everything, it makes you such a more resilient person to any, like, I don't know, all the setbacks. And I do think infertility is one of the hardest things I've ever been through. And I hate that women have to go through this process and this journey, but it truly is, as we've all heard the saying, it is the worst club with the best members. And to be able to do it alongside other women and not feel so isolated, I think gives you that determination that you can keep going. You can keep fighting when things get hard. You just find strength in your community and in numbers. So yeah, I think all of it has, like, it's thickened my skin a little bit, but it's made me a more resilient, definitely a more empathetic person. I think it has changed my heart. Like, I just see women and families and men. I mean, I see parents of all types differently now. And I see the quest to create a family differently than I ever did when I was 30 years old. So it changes you. It definitely changes you.
Okay. One of our last questions, what advice do you have for those navigating infertility regarding, well, just in general, but also regarding not losing yourself during treatment?
Oh gosh. My best advice, if you are going through infertility and fertility treatments, is if it's not working or if you don't feel aligned with your clinic or your doctor, I highly recommend switching. It is far too big of an investment physically, financially, emotionally to be going on too long with someone who isn't serving your family's needs the way that you need to be met. So my biggest thing is just like, I hear too many people, I don't like my clinic, I don't like my doctor, I just feel like a number, I don't feel like a true patient. So I would say switch, because there is someone who will cater to what your family needs. And they'll just help you. They'll help find the right solution, whether that is going a different route, like surrogacy or embryo donation or adoption, like they'll help you figure it out. So keep dating if it's not working is my advice there. And then the second part of the question was how to not lose yourself. I think it's really important to stay focused on the things that fill your cup and nourish you. It is so easy to lose yourself in this process. So it doesn't have to be big. I'm not saying like you have to go out and like go on retreats or, you know, anything like that, but stay committed to tiny habits that keep you grounded. If that's like going to a Pilates class or a yoga class, like find 30 minutes a day that can make you feel normal and connected to your body and less wrapped up in all of the external, I guess, variables that come with fertility treatments. So try and stay in your body as best you can. And if you have the resources, therapy, 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 therapy.
We are such big fans of therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just got the chills. Sarah, you're so amazing. And again, you know, just thank you for being so open and vulnerable and available to everybody in this community. You know, you've got a huge platform, but you're so relatable and you're such a like woman's woman, you know, supporting other women and men, of course, too. But we really appreciate, you know, being friends with you and following your story and rooting for you. And everybody go follow Sarah on Instagram. Are you on TikTok too?
You know, I have a TikTok, but no, I'm
okay.
I'm so a millennial. Instagram
and, you know, everywhere else, but you know, she's there for you guys. And thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, guys. And thanks again to Sarah Herron for being our keynote speaker at the last Rally Live, which just happened. But in case you missed it, I'm glad you heard it now. Also, check out the rally, fertilityrally.com, and check out my books at infertileafgroup.com. You can always reach out to me as well if you need anything, if you have any questions about any of this stuff. And I'm on IG at infertileafstories or IG at fertilityrally. Thank you guys for listening. Sending you a lot of love. Bye.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's All-in-One Whole Body Shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Try their newest flavors, like the limited edition Chocolate Mint. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code SHAKE for 15% off.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.